these violent delights and violent ends.
Welcome to Violent Delights, a Westworld podcast. We are your hosts, Andrew Sarcini,
Dwayne D,
and Tosin Anafawakin.
Tonight, we'll be talking about HBO's latest trailer for Westworld Season 2, aired during this year's Super Bowl 52. Total spoilers ahead, as is every episode of Violent Delights, but we don't have to tell you that by now. So let's dive into the shot-by-shot breakdown. But first, we have some online spots where you can get in contact with us. You can write to us or email us a voice memo at hbowestworldpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at hbowestworldpod or just hashtag Violent Delights. And our Facebook page is Westworld Podcast. Add us on iTunes, like us, and please leave us a review. All right, so HBO released a new trailer for Westworld Season 2 during the Super Bowl. It's about a minute and a half long, and we're just going to go sort of shot by shot breakdown. So the trailer starts off with some of Ramin Djawadi's amazing music, and it's his cover of Kanye West's Runaway. So it's like a soft piano music, and you get this sort of sweeping,
as we've seen in the Westworld, where they, you know, with the player piano during the first season.
Yep,
they're basically employing that tactic here as new music for the trailer.
Yep,
taking a very popular song from our time, instrumentalizing it. Mm-hmm. That's not a word, but you get what I mean.
It is now,
and basically laying it out with a simple piano hit. And that's really clever. And
the hook, some may call it.
Yeah, it's the hook of the song, and they're doing it to establish the scene. It's establishment shots of Westworld, this like beautiful Western rough landscape, the steppe.
Yep, you've got these sweeping vistas. It's, you know, it's Utah where they've shot it before.
They should be shooting in Colorado.
And I think the other interesting thing is when you look at some of the things said in the song, you know, it's about running away as fast as you can. It's about like some people putting up with too much shit for too long and kind of, you know, calling out the douchebags, assholes, etc. So
it's which makes sense because all the songs that they used so far, having just sounded good in piano version, they've been quite topical to the actual nature of the plot of the various episodes.
They've got this
in.
Great subtext, right? It's like commenting on what's going on in the scene. You know, the SDC, this Comic-Con season 2 preview had I Gotta Be Me. This one is Runaway. So, again, very clever.
And the last thing I'll say about that is that when they do the music like this, it helps that I can't do in most other sort of binge-worthy series, and that is remember the episode. There's so many of these shows where, you know, it's one episode runs into the next.
Yeah.
And while Westworld isn't afraid to do that, because of the nature of the song in that moment, I remember that moment better. It's a beautiful way to tie that world with our world and what's going on in it. So, you know, we just got to give it up to the showrunners for coming up with that technique, which just adds that much more depth to what we're seeing.
So we see these beautiful sweeping vistas of the Utah Monument Valley landscape, which is doubling for the world of Westworld. And over that, you hear Dolores Abernathy's voiceover, and she says, "Look at this world, this beautiful world." And we cut to a shot of about 9 seconds in of a Native American indigenous person riding a white horse on sand dunes, which I don't know. I'm not entirely sure where that's meant to be, since sand dunes are not necessarily indigenous to that part of the Utah desert where. But it could be
so
anywhere.
In the West, we do have great sand dunes, large sand dunes. They usually end up at the base of mountain ranges. So in Colorado, dunes, which is right next to Utah and which shares a lot of the landscape features, we have what on the map is shown as the Great Sand Dunes. So we do see sand. It's just not beachy sand or California desert sand.
Which that is said, kind of what this looks like.
Right, right. And that's one thing we just have to realize. I think in Westworld, if you're on Delos and you've made this landscape,
right,
you're going to have multiple different types of terrain,
right,
in order to pull off the illusion. And because of that, they can easily change, because of the natural features between the Great Sand Dunes and places like California, the Mojave Desert, etc., you can move between those spaces without really losing the suspension of disbelief.
Sure. So after that, you cut to a shot we've seen before of Maeve. Maeve, in her previous existence, taking the hand of her daughter, walking through the wheat fields. From there, we cut to Dolores saying, "We built this world together," as we see more shots of the Abernathy Ranch and cattle, rustling cattle. She says, "A world where dreams can come true." And this is where it starts to get really interesting. We see the back of an extreme close-up of the back of one cattle. And he's galloping across what looks like a out-of-focus vista, western vista, but there's an odd sort of glass-like reflection in that vista. I'm getting really detailed here because it actually does.
Well, the transition is brilliant because it looks like it's an out west vista with the sun setting.
Yeah.
And then what do we realize it is, right?
Well,
the fancy editing gets in the way, and it tricks us once again, as it has throughout the entire series.
We see odd little slow motion flashes in there also, which clue us in that something is not entirely natural. All right, and then we cut back to more sweeping vistas of Westworld. She says, Dolores says, "A world where you can be free." And then you get a shot of Dolores or some female. I think it might be Maeve riding a white horse across a desert plain at about 29 seconds in. And then we cut back to this side shot of cattle running, galloping in front of this out of focus vista. And by this point, we can clearly see that there are other reflections in this, what appears to be glass. So it is a bit
unnatural.
Because
we're not outside anymore. It becomes clear that we're inside.
Yes. And then as the scene progresses, as the slow motion scene progresses, you see that part of that out of focus background vista is actually on a surface of glass, and the other half is the Delos technicians area behind it. So now it's a really disoriented, because what we're taking to mean from this, infer from this, is that there's cattle that is actually stampeding inside the Delos technician area. And at first when I saw this, I'm like, that can't be right. There's something incongruous about what I'm looking at here.
I thought it was a rodeo.
A rodeo?
Mechanical bulls, right?
Exactly. But, you know, we talk about mechanical bulls, but then what was revealed when we do notice that they're, when it's incontrovertible that they're inside.
Okay.
Is that we see...
Yes, so the very next shot at about 34 seconds is kind of, in my opinion, it's like the gut punch, the centerpiece to this whole spot, which is you get the full picture now, and you are definitely inside the technician area at Delos. The cattle that you're seeing stampeding is partially formed. So the front half of the cattle is fully skinned, and the back half of the cattle has this robot exoskeleton on it. So it's not entirely formed. And across...
Endoskeleton.
Endoskeleton.
They're going to cover it up. Theoretically, it should be covered up, but it's exposed.
And the cattle is galloping, is stampeding directly into one of the Delos security forces, who is standing,
holding a carbine over it.
Right. Holding firm across from him, firing a carbine at him. One of those Delos security, special security machine guns.
Firearms, yeah.
Yeah, firearms. It's not clear whether or not that is the head of security that we've seen from the season one.
Yeah, what is clear is that he's wholly unprepared.
Yes.
That firing this carbine at this animal, mechanical or not, is not doing the job of putting it down.
Yeah.
That's the thing that we're seeing.
And at this point, Dolores says in voiceover, but this world is a lie. And it's like, for me, that's beautiful, because we get this sort of this is the point where the tone of the whole spot turns on a dime. And you go from pastoral and bucolic to sinister and chaotic.
Mm-hmm. You want dark, we got dark.
Yeah, exactly. And then you cut to a shot from behind the security team, and you can see that they are in the hallway, and the cattle are stampeding towards them. Another side view shot of the security forces at the cattle stampeding towards them on a sort of a side shot.
And they're all broken up by the various panes of glass, and that's what's so exciting.
Yes. So
it's like indicative, you know.
Then we cut to a exterior shot with Bernard and other security forces standing over a vista, and Dolores says,
"The world deserves to die."
The world deserves to die. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to a shot of somebody, what appears to be a human. Actually, it's unclear, but definitely someone who is being held against their will, down on a table by three uniformed Delos technicians.
It actually looks like Dolores' father.
It does. Yeah. But there's I'm going to offer a counter theory later on after we get through this.
And then what gets me is that immediately after that, we see Bernard staring to something that we can't see. The camera's on him. But behind him,
yeah,
is a figure either clad in white or just simply not skinned yet.
Yep. I think that's
coming
what it
up
is.
Behind him and kind developed. Of yeah. Yeah, and an alien the motion is strong, strident and an alien, and it is unsettling to see this not quite person roll up behind this character that we're so familiar with.
This host that's not fully formed.
Yep.
Right? We get a close up shot of what looks like Teddy's eyes, could be somebody else, a close up shot of hands at the piano. Dolores says, because this is your world. And here's an interesting shot of what looks like the lounge area, the Mesa Gold area of the Delos facility. But it seems to be populated by hosts who are completely
frozen
in space, and through there are walking a couple of other people. It's hard to tell who that is. I think it's Ben Barnes.
They're people who, whoever they are, they're shocked.
Yeah, they're right? Shocked.
It looks like Dolores is in there with somebody else, and they're shocked.
We get a shot of the man in black standing in rain. We then cut from the man in black to a shot of Clementine, and she is standing in the maintenance facility. You can see her hand up against the glass, and behind the glass, there is just pure chaos, like hosts fighting other hosts, perhaps hosts fighting workers. Yeah, we get another shot of the security team being gored by the cattle. The cattle are stampeding. The security team is being thrown into the glass.
And amid them is Maeve walking calmly as the cattle seem to obey her will and attack the security forces for her.
Yep. And over that shot.
Covered, by the way. She's covered.
She's like, she's clad, right? She's covered in, she's cloaked.
Yeah, she's covered and she's cloaked. You know, yep. She looks incredibly comfortable. She has shoes on. She's protected, and these animals are protecting her almost.
And Dolores says over that, "We've lived by your rules long enough." More chaos as the cattle runs through, and the security forces are just being decimated.
They're being devastated. They're not being decimated.
You're going to be technical about that.
I am. It's a big word for me.
All right.
They're being devastated.
You're being
being taken out.
But every tenth one is being taken out, so they are being
only every tenth one is being taken out and 90% of them are left, then and only then can we say they're being decimated. If that is the case, I will accept this information. But
so,
they're being totally taken out. Like, they're being knocked the fuck down.
They're being
devastated.
Over this badass shot of Maeve walking through this chaos, Dolores says, "We can save this world." And then you get that tight shot on Maeve's face, and she is looking confident as fuck. Like, she is, like, she's owning this scene, right? More gore.
She's in love with the way she's looking right there too. It's like a slow pan over her eyes blinking.
More goring of the security team by the cattle. Dolores says, "We can burn it to the ground," as we see the Ghost Nation walking through Westworld, torches in hand. Another shot, that classic shot from the Comic-Con trailer of Dolores riding
the horse and undulating as she does.
Yes. Yes, she says, "And from the ashes, build a new world." We see the a wolf running through the town where they had the unveiling of Robert Ford's new narrative. That party
where Robin Ford died.
Yeah, where Robert Ford died, where he was shot by Dolores. And we see the chaos, the aftermath of that, with all of the party guests lying on the ground, presumably dead, and this wolf running through. We get a shot of Bernard
and Dolores.
Dolores is wearing modern day clothes. So
yeah, it's a dress where it's like a black top with shoulders out, and Bernard is dressed as he would be in modern day, mm-hmm. and the two hosts look like they're in communion. They're both smiling. They're both talking together. They are colleagues.
Yep.
In this scenario, as opposed to Bernard being a behind the scenes host and Dolores being a front facing host.
We have
as you would imagine.
We cut to a shot of Maeve presumably other hosts standing in a field outside. And it appears to be snowing or some sort of ashes.
Ashes falling, yeah.
Ashes falling from the ground. More shots of chaos in the map room. We get some really quick shots now. Quick shots of black clad and masked people wearing bandoliers.
Marauders.
Yeah. We're not sure what they are. A great shot of this half-formed host physically throwing somebody into a wall or into one of the host-forming machines.
Devices.
Yeah, that's a great mm-hmm. shot. This flyover of hosts in the vista, in the Utah vista. A tight shot, a sweeping shot of Dolores face on. And then she says, "Our world." She basically is claiming the world for the hosts. Yeah. And that's
that's what we're led to believe by the way that these shots and her text is being taken. And it's the struggle of how these hosts, these robots, are reclaiming their space from the people who designed and created them and oversaw it.
Yep.
To put it in Klingon terms, it's the way the mortals kill their gods.
Yes. So I think that sets up the tone and what we can expect for season two. I'm excited about that. My theory is that everything that we've seen in the trailer, more or less, comes from the first episode of the show, and that is just basically the first episode. We're just going to see the aftermath of what happened at the end of the season one, and the rest of the season will be launching off from that aftermath.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of look at this as you know, we saw Maeve wanting to leave and kind of walking out, but we also know that we were told by Felix and Sylvester that once she tries to leave, she'll have problems. So this idea of her coming back, the return of Maeve and coming back with effectively an army of robots at her side in the form of bulls or whatever, that to me seems like it could take a few episodes. Also, while Dolores's words happen quickly, I feel like those could be the kinds of words we see coming out of her mouth toward the climactic space of this next season. And this could really be the journey of how we get to a point where Westworld is taken over by a unified group of hosts, as opposed to a series of hosts that are obviously against different people that are ruling them, but at the same time, they're kind of still working within their various scope that they've been programmed into. When you see Maeve control those cattle, you realize this is not how this is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Whereas at the end of last season, when you saw, you know, the natives coming in and attacking the settlers, they were still kind of fulfilling their roles. Natives attack settlers. Whether they were off the chain and unleashed, it's a different story. So this unification, this coordination, this is, to me, what would scare the leadership of Delos, of Westworld, far more than simply the events, the aberration that could be rationalized at the end of last season.
A couple other things I wanted to bring up here, a little tantalizing bits to tease you until season two starts up. Fans of Westworld have deconstructed this video to death and discovered a little bit of secrets in there. So if you look at the video at 33 seconds, there are white bars in the upper half of the screen reflected in the glass, and they presumably are like a flash frame, perhaps, of the fluorescent lights from inside the facility. But someone has actually decoded those white bars into binary, which led to an IP address, which led to a new website, that is in-game, as they say in alternate reality games. And it's DelosDestinations.com. And Delos
a travel website, right?
A travel website encompassing all of the worlds of Delos, including Westworld, and including the hint of whatever world we saw about in the very last episode, where we saw just a logo on a door. So if you go to that site, DelosDestinations.com, they list six different parks, of which we only see Westworld, and we see sort of like the teasing little hint of another park, but where it's not entirely clear what that park is. But what's interesting about that is that someone also sort of did a little deconstruction about taking apart the images from the trailer and bits of stuff from the Delos Destination website themselves. And they suspect that that one of the worlds that are part of the Delos Destination is called Raj World, and it reflects basically colonial India.
The age of the Raj was a period in colonial India, when the British gave nominal power to the Rajas in order to control. It was called divide and rule, divided India, so that they could coordinate the Rajas and rule themselves. We see at least six parks in this Delos website.
Yep.
We can't tell what they are. The parks are listed as numbered, park 4, park 3, park 2, whatever. Reservations closed to the public. So definitely go here and play around with the site. Use your gestures on your Mac or Windows trackpad to kind of get some of the situation going. it's definitely worth checking out.
One interesting sort of connection that Westworld shares with Raj World might share with Raj World is that these are both two environments where Europeans, New World Europeans, have come in and colonized these native lands and subjugated the native peoples under these lands. So, again,
right. Well, in the case of the Raj World, it's not New World Europeans; it's still Old World or Europeans. But
again,
Europeans in Asia colonizing them. But they're both questions of white people colonizing Indians. Right?
Sure, but also mirroring the idea of
manifest destiny
of guests subjugating hosts. So again, to support the whole Raj World theory, HBO owns those domains. Welcome to Raj World and discover rajworld.com. So who knows? In any case, unless you guys have anything else that you want to posit out there about the upcoming season 2, we will probably see you next when episode 1 of season 2 of Westworld starts up. If there's another trailer, we're going to jump
another
on board.
Another trailer, yeah. Related kind of AI-focused content. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are focused on Westworld, but where Westworld happens, other production companies and other distributors and other people, they want to figure out ways to tap into the same market.
Yep.
And if that stuff is valid, we'll bring it to you here.
Absolutely. So until next time, we'll see you on Violent Delights, and we'll see you next time.